Well, it is officially springtime. Happy Easter to everybody, and it is time for Sporting a Cause with Willie Hallahan. Willie operates the website sportingacause.com, which covers fundraising events that are all somehow sports-related in our area, and he also writes a blog there. Happy Easter, Willie.
Happy Easter to you too, Marshall. You know, I say it often, but the holidays just zip by, don't they? It's almost like road signs on the highway. They just, go through Christmas, New Year's, and on and on and on. Here it's Easter, and spring's here, and wow.
It's
great to see, though. It's a great time of year to be coming into.
Well, especially after the year that we've been through, things are starting to look a little brighter. Maybe it's because we're going into springtime, and maybe it's because people are getting vaccinated. But there's definitely a different mood in our country and in the area.
For sure. Let's just call spring a metaphor for things opening up and renewing. That's how I'm thinking of it.
So what do we have on the report today?
Well, we have just a handful of things coming up next week. As I've said time and time again, things certainly slowed down in the sports-related fundraising world. But actually, for next weekend, I have three events to talk about. It's a nice cluster, and it bodes well for things down the road. Next Saturday and Sunday, the Berkshire South Regional Community Center is holding its annual swimathon. And it's notable because it is in person this year. They raise money for their adaptive sports programs up in Great Barrington, and they've made some provisions for distancing and so forth. But the key words here are in person, so that's great to see. Also, next Sunday, the Hotchkiss School Splash is going to happen. That's of course at Hotchkiss School, and this is a closed event, unfortunately. You can't join in because the Hotchkiss kids are operating in a bubble there because of the pandemic. But they wanted to raise money for the Jane Lloyd Fund. They did it last year. They've always been participants. You know, way back when we held these events in person and the Jane Lloyd Fund had their spring splash at the Grove, the Hotchkiss community was always there along with Indian Mountain School and Berkshire School and Housatonic. It was always more than 50% young people, which was always good to see. But because of the pandemic, the event was canceled last year, but the Hotchkiss kids still did their version of it, and they raised $1,000. So they hope to do better than that this year. That's next Sunday. A new event, the Millbrook Marathon, is happening over in New York State. It's coming next Sunday. It's already closed out. This is interesting to me because usually a first-year event, it takes a while for an event to gain traction, so you get more and more people hear about it, they sign on, and two or three years down the road, suddenly you've got a nice, successful event. Well, they closed out, they reached their cap already in their first year. I can't find the details about it, but I suspect that they've limited, it's an in-person event, not a virtual one. And I'm guessing they probably limited their attendance because of the pandemic. But I don't know what that number is. But the important thing is that they're holding it for the first year, and they're closed out. Another interesting thing. This will be interesting to you, Marshall. I talked to Carrie over at the Sharon Daycare Center a few days ago, and it looks like the Sharon Classic Road Race will be held in person this year. Looks like they have to finalize all the details, but it looks like it's going to be in September. It used to be a May. It was one of the first races of the year. It was in early May. Last year, because of the pandemic, they postponed it to September, and things didn't improve a whole lot, so they made it virtual. And it looks like they're going to do it in September this year in person. And I know that'll do your heart good, Marshall, because you've always been involved in that, I think probably right from the beginning, 20-some years, I can't remember how many years.
Dale Jones and I hung the banner of the first one that was held, absolutely.
It's close to 30 years it's been done, right?
It's been around a long, long time.
yeah. And that's another great sign. It's one of the bigger races we have locally. They'd always have close to 300 runners, which is big by local standards, and the fact that they want to do it in person is just another sign that things are improving. Now, last week, I said I wanted to spend a little bit of time this week talking about the virtual running events that you see on Facebook. They pop up like spring flowers. They're all over the place. They have names like Run for the Dogs and Lucky Dog 5K and I Run for Wine and Be Kind, I Hate Running 5K, Save the Giant Pandas, Hot Chocolate 15K. The list goes on and on and on. And I talked about this last year because all these events, they're virtual running events. They all claim to have a partnership with a charity, like a pet rescue organizations or hunger charities like Feeding America, all legitimate charities. They, like any other event, they'll charge you an entry fee where you'll get a T-shirt, a medal, and you assume that part of your entry fee will go to the partnering charity, but it doesn't. What happens is you register online, pay your fee, and then you're encouraged to make an additional donation to the cause. The race organizers are donating nothing. Now, to be fair, people do make separate donations, and some of the money is raised for these charities. But what bothers me, and I think needs to be talked about, is that there's an absence of clarity. That's what bothers me about, and it really borders on deception. These events, they're manufactured. They're for-profit companies that are manufacturing these events, claiming a partnership with a charity, and you don't really know until you've signed up that no portion of your donation is going to that charity. You have to make a separate donation yourself. Now, are these legal? Sure. Yeah, they're legal to run. Are they philanthropic? Just marginally. And that's only if the registrant makes their own donation. Are they transparent? Most definitely not. So if you're a runner, you're better off signing up for a race around here. And now that they're more and more, they're going to be in person. So you have that racing experience. And then you know for sure around here, these events are organized by the charities themselves, you know that a portion of your entry fee is going to go to benefit a worthy local cause. So that's my rant for this week, Marshall.
Well, it's a good rant, and it's people have to understand that, is that a lot of local people put a lot of local time in and effort into raising funds that go, I'll say 99% of the funds go to the charity. It's anywhere from 1 to 3% of the funds might go to, like if you're having a dinner or something like that. And so you really want the majority of your money to go to where you think it's going. You don't want the money to go to a third party where they can do what they want with it and you don't know where the money goes. So I think it's a good, important point to bring out. I mean, it was one of the problems that the United Way ran into years ago, and they have since corrected that problem, since it was obvious that more money was going to the administration than it was to the charities, and they fixed that problem.
Yeah. But now, in a local charity, if you wanted to organize a fundraiser, whether it's a golf tournament or a running race or whatever, the formula is that you find business sponsors to underwrite your expenses, and then the entry fee, whatever it is, hopefully all of it goes to the charity itself. The businesses, that's why business sponsors are so important to any kind of fundraiser, because they underwrite the printing of the T-shirts, the advertising costs, and so forth, so that the entry fee, whatever it is, $25 for a race or $120 for a golf tournament, all goes to the charity itself. I've said it many times. Without the business sponsors, there are no fundraisers, because that's an integral part of the economics of putting on an event.
Yeah, so that is what's great about our area. And I'll just bring up the Sunny and the Country Food Drive. Out of the $25,000 to $35,000 they raise each year, it all goes to purchase the products locally and then distribute it locally to food banks. So basically, 100% of their funds, there are no administrative funds, goes to benefit the charity. Same for Tri-State Public Communications. we have no administrative funds. Jill and I don't take any money out of this place, but all the money that is raised that goes for Tri-State Public Communications goes to the Bargain Barn, CATV6, CATV252, or the radio station for the employees and for the bills that go there. That's something that people really have to understand. That's why local fundraising is so important.
Yeah. It doesn't get purer than that, you know.
No.
So many of our, and that's why volunteerism is the other component there too. When people are volunteering their time and you're not paying them, that's when you can take 100% of the proceeds and put them towards the actual working of the cause.
All right. Well, looks like we're going to have some stuff to talk about in the future, Willie.
Yes, we are, Marshall. You have a good week. Again, happy Easter, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right. Take care, Willie.
Take care.
Willie Hallahan, Sporting a Cause, and a happy Easter to you and yours from everybody here at Robin Hood Radio.